The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
I'm preaching on the topic, Roll Down in the Midst of Your Enemies. Amen. Roll Down in the midst of your enemies. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. I'm reading verse 17. Romans 5, 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the light of and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." I take it again. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one." In the first statement, you see "by one," and in the last line you also see "by one." The "by one" in the first statement refers to the devil, and the "by one" in the last statement refers to Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to teach on something that should be happening in your life after your salvation. There are a number of things that should be happening in our lives, and one of the things that should be happening in your life is what I'm going to teach now. If it may be happening but it's falling short, you can pick yourself up and operate at optimum. Don't settle for 33% if you can do 99.9%. Can I hear an amen from the Lord? So there are some things that are supposed to be happening in our lives after we get born again. And one of them is what I'm going to just teach. Now, for the text we read, another version tells us that if by the sin of Adam death had such opportunity to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful opportunity to us through grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this man Jesus Christ, our Messiah. In the initial text that I read, the Bible says, "If by one man's offense," the word "offense" in the original is the word "trespass." It also means a false step. You know, sometimes when you are climbing the stairs and you want to step on the next level, and sometimes you miss your step, sometimes it's as if you are falling over. That is a false step. Number three, offense means to slip. So one, offense is to trespass; two, a false step; and three, to slip. It all simply means to miss the mark of God. The second word there is death. "For if by one man's offense death reigned," the word "death" in the original is referring to spiritual death. And this spiritual death, the Bible says, reign. It reigned or has been reigning for some time. And its impact from the spiritual has come into the natural. And so it is affecting other things, and the force of evil can be felt all over. So if by one man's offense death, spiritual death, has been reigning over things in the physical, the Bible says much more, second much more, we'll come back to that, they which receive the abundance of grace, they which receive the abundance of grace. That word receive means to lay hold on. By one man's offense, by one man's trespass, by one man's false step, there was death. There was spiritual death that came reigning over things, came reigning over marriage and family, reigning over education, reigning over politics, reigning over health, reigning over finances. It says much more, they which receive the abundance of grace. That word receive there means to lay hold on. So much more, they which have laid hold on this newness of life, this life everlasting, this life of God, they have received or lay hold on the abundance of grace. Tell somebody, lay hold, lay hold, lay hold. Don't let go. Under pressure, don't let go. Keep your firm tight. Keep your grip firm. So lay hold on it, and it goes to say, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. Oh boy. First time death reigned. But after our lives have been touched by the Lord through his grace and the gift of righteousness, the Bible says we shall also reign in life by one Jesus Christ. There are two levels of reigning that we must do before I explain the word reign. The first reigning must happen in this life. And the second reigning will happen with Christ after this life. The Bible talks about the fact that at the end of age, when the church has been raptured, we shall live with the Lord where he is. And the Bible says that we will not need the sun, because God will be light to us. Secondly, the Bible says our tears will be wiped away, and there shall be no more sorrow, and we shall live eternally with the Lord over there. So this is the place we are striving to go to, and this is the place that we are working hard and trusting in the grace of God, that when all our work is done, that is where we'll be headed for. But in the meantime, we have been empowered and equipped with some things to reign in this life. If you don't reign, death will reign. So of necessity, you must understand what it is to reign. Now, what does it mean to reign? Number one, to reign means to rule in sovereign power, or to rule with sovereign authority. The word sovereign means the highest power in the land. You see, if you start, you can say the director of a particular institution is in charge. Then you go to the district chief executive, DCEs. Then beyond the DCEs, you would also have regional authorities, regional ministers. Beyond the regional ministers, you will also have some other ministers of state together with the regional ministers. And then beyond them, you find that the power keeps going up and up. In Ghana, the highest authority resides in the president, and then we have the subsequent powers who deputize for him. So when the president speaks over a certain matter, sometimes it has a tendency to conclude it if the courts do not have anything to do against it. Now, let me use this occasion to mention that the second meaning of the word reign is to exercise the highest influence or dominion. First one means to rule with sovereign power and authority. The second one says to exercise the highest influence and dominion. At every level in life, there is a certain influence. But then there is another influence that is greater than the sphere of life in which you are. If you are to be successful, then you must upgrade your influence to the next level. The greatest authority in this world is the power of God. And it is by that same power that we have been saved, and by that same power that we have been connected to God. So our operation is in the highest power and the highest authority. Now let's take some Old Testament definitions and some New Testament definitions of the word reign. In the Old Testament, the word reign is the word malak, M-A-L-A-K-H. Malak, it means three things. Number one, it means to be king. Number two, it means to accede the throne or to rise to the throne. And number three, it means to operate as a king. So let's take them one by one. Number one, to be a king. Saul was walking ordinarily, looking for the lost donkeys of his uncle, until he came into contact with Samuel the prophet, seeking the direction of God. And God had a bigger direction for him. And God, through the prophet, told him that he had been selected by God to be the king over Israel. The event that was to follow to install Saul into office was by anointing. Was by anointing and public acclamation. That everybody must see the king after he has been anointed, he must be paraded through the town. I have good news for you, that you are also a king. Oh, the amen was not strong enough. I say you are also a king in the name of Jesus. Revelation 1:6 says, and he hath made us kings and priests to God and his Father. We haven't been made kings and priests to our traditional authorities, to our local council, to the paramountcy that we represent, or to the earthly kingdom of somebody. But the Bible says we have been made kings and priests to God and his Father. That is why in another portion of the Bible, he says that for ye are a royal priesthood, a combination of the two. Royal and priesthood, kings and priests. So you are a priest. Tell the next person, you are a priest. Oh, I don't like the way you are saying it. I say you are a priest. You must be a priest to your family as the father, As a wife, you must also be a priest to the children and to your household. You must be a priest, standing in and offering prayers and intercession on behalf of your community, your household, your nation, your church, giving sacrifices on behalf of the family like Abraham did. And folks like Levi were blessing his loins. So you are a priest and you are a king. I want this to sink into you. I say you are a priest and you are a king. Would you please lift up your right hand very high and shout after me, I am a king and I am a priest in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you are mumbling the words. Now, say after me, I am a king. And I am also a priest in Christ Jesus, ordained unto the Father. Put your hands together for that. So the time you got born again and you got integrated into the kingdom of God, one of the things that happened to you was that you just became a king and you became a priest. The second thing is that God had to put you on a throne, because we said you must accede the throne according to the definition of Malak. You must accede the throne. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. According to the Bible, when Jesus was on the cross, we were with him, in him. When he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he resurrected, we resurrected with him. And when he ascended, we ascended with him. And when he was seated on the right hand of the Father, we sat on the right hand of the Father. So the Bible says that we have been given a place in the heavenly places far above principality and power, at the right hand of God. So your seat has been determined. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I want a more enjoyable amen. So number one, you are king. And number two, you are on your throne. Even though you are in this world, your kingdom is not of this world. Your throne is in the heavenly places so that you can operate in the highest power. Number three, you have to operate as a king. So you are a king, you have a throne, and the third thing that you and I must do is that we have to operate as kings. So Matthew 16:19 says, and I will give you the keys of what? The kingdom. And I will give you the keys of what? The kingdom. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom that is related to the kingdom of God. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind in heaven or loose in heaven shall be loose on earth. So I will give you authority that is far-reaching, beyond the earth, beyond the galaxies, beyond the universe, that whatsoever you shall bind in this world, including the devil, shall be bound. And whatsoever you shall loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, I thought you'd be more excited than that. So what is left for us now is to operate as kings. Because one, we know we are kings. And two, we have been appointed into office. So we are left with the third part, where we must operate as kings. Now, after general elections in this country for the presidency, you notice that one person comes out and is determining as the president-elect. He's the president yet to be anointed. So on the day of coronation, it is the chief justice who swears him into office. So after he takes that oath, the next thing is that there's a presidential seat. And the president is walked to the seat and is made to sit on it. In our traditional circles, when a king or chief is installed, they put you on a seat and they raise you three times so that your buttocks touches the seat three times. Then it's confirmed that you are on the throne. So it is only after the president has been sworn in, and it is only after symbolically has been put on that throne, that he begins to act in the third one. So he begins to operate, and by his power of accent, bills can be turned into laws. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Parliament may pass it, and when he puts his signature on it, it becomes law. The courts may sentence someone to death, but that death may not be executed until it gets presidential assent, until a signature goes underneath the judgment that you must die. So the president has power. He has power to mobilize the Ghana army to defend the country. He has power to mobilize the police to provide day by day security within the country. He has power to mobilize the citizenry to produce so that the economy becomes buoyant. So there is power to act. So we must not live in a country where armed robbers are harassing us because somebody has been placed on the throne to act. Can I hear an amen? Oh, your amen is not encouraging. Can I hear a better amen? Similarly, you are now on the spiritual throne. You are not king elect. You have already been installed into office. You have been anointed not with the oil of men. You have been appointed by the Most High God and anointed by the Most High God. And you have been given a responsibility to go out and function. If you allow some things to happen around you, you cannot blame God, because you must exercise control over your jurisdiction and make your influence felt in the season of your reign. The New Testament, thank you, the New Testament definition of the word reign from the Greek is the word basileuen. Basileuen is spelled BASILEUEIN. So BASILEUEIN, basileuen. Basileuen means power over sin, sicknesses, and death. Power over sin, sicknesses, and death. So you can put all the four meanings together, the three from the Old Testament and this one from the New Testament. It means, number one, you have been appointed a king. Number two, you have been given a throne. Number three, you are supposed to operate And number four, in your preaching, you are supposed to subdue the power of sin, and you are supposed to subdue sicknesses and diseases and subdue death and its manifestations. So you are not a passenger in this life, and you are not a mere sojourner in this life. You are not on an excursion in your Christian life. Your influence must be felt, because that is why God gave it to you, so that death will not reign where you are. Some of the things that reign where we are, in God's sight, we may have allowed them. But it's our job to rise to the occasion and make use of the power and authority vested in us to deal with issues and bring them to their rightful place. The Bible says, sin by one man led to death, and the consequence of death reigning terribly. Then he says, the obedience of one man through Christ Jesus has led to a restoration. And this restoration is happening through his grace and righteousness. So we were brought to this position simply because we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Our sins were forgiven, and God gave us a new lease of life. He took the spirit of death from us and gave us the spirit of life, which is called the life of God, and which is eternal life. So the eternal life starts here, and it will only continue after you have left here. Oh, somebody shout amen. Shout amen. The Bible says in Revelation 5:10, you have made them into the kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Can I take it again? Revelation 5:10, you have made them into a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Having understood what it means to reign, we also have to establish the fact that reigning does not mean there is no opposition. The reason why you will reign is because you will face opposition. You will face evil, because darkness is currently reigning. Evil is reigning. Failure is reigning. Calamities are reigning. Depression is reigning. Death is reigning. Sicknesses and diseases are reigning. The Bible says, for by the sin of one man, death reigned. Death started reigning just when God created the first family. Cain got up and slew Abel out of envy. Reuben slew some Shechemites out of his anger. Joseph's brothers conspired and wanted to kill him, but God spared him, and they sold him into slavery. Away with your dreams. David sinned with Bathsheba and plotted to kill Uriah in a battle. Amnon raped Tamar. Absalom rebelled against David. He conspired with Ahithophel. They both died as a result of judgment from the Lord. Ahab married many foreign women, including Jezebel. Naboth had a vineyard. They set their eyes of envy on it. They brought false accusations against Naboth, killed Naboth in cold blood, and judgment was pronounced against Ahab and his house. In Noah's generation, nobody would listen to the word. For years, Noah preached, but they would not listen until the floods came down and destroyed everything except Noah and his family and the things that had been secured in the ark. Many priests and prophets were sent to Israel to preach to them, but the Israelites slew them. Nazareth was noted for that. So when they said a Messiah had come out of Nazareth, the people could not believe it, because the nation chosen of God to be an example to the rest of the world were killing their own prophets. In Jesus' time, evil still wanted to reign. And today to be the Pharisees, tomorrow to be the scribes, next day to be the Sadducees, or sometimes a combination of two and three, coming against Jesus and coming against the truth. He would heal somebody and they would challenge him. And so the Bible said death reigned. In Moses' time, many laws were given, over 633 laws were given, so that it would help govern and regulate the affairs of men, so men would not live in darkness. So in some of the areas, the laws covered incest. A brother cannot sleep with a sister. Some of the laws covered homosexuality. Some of the laws covered areas of falsely acquiring other people's property. And so there were many things, and God sought that the reign of death must come to an end. I'm about to focus on one reign in the Bible of a woman who ruled, and under her reign, under her administration, it was most unfavorable to the children of God. Can I hear an amen? Now, is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, before I give you that, I want to establish one fact, that if you had occasion to peep into heaven and you find God, one of the things you will constantly see him do is that he reigns. Oh, come on, somebody must be clapping. Oh, clap well, because it's not Satan who is reigning, it's God who is reigning. The Bible says he's a just God, and justice and righteousness are in his habitation. In Psalm 96, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So simply give the Lord worship. "Fear before him all the earth." Now look at verse 10. "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth." We are not supposed to keep our mouth shut. We are supposed to declare that the Lord reigneth. The Bible says the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. In Psalm 97 verse 1, the Bible says the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of owls be glad thereof. Oh, look at Revelation 19:6. You would love that. Revelation 19:6. It says, as I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It was when God revealed a bit of heaven to John the Revelator, and he saw a throne with a glassy sea, and he saw a figure seated upon the throne. And he saw 24 angels bowing and making obeisance to the Lord. Then he heard something that was said. And what was said is what we have just read. As I heard it, it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. Oh, can I hear you shout hallelujah? Today, let your hallelujah be with a meaning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. It says, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You remember that song? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth in majesty. Where's the keyboardist? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth. Let's sing it again. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth in majesty. Come on, please put your hands together, somebody. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth in majesty. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth in majesty. Omnipotent means all powerful. There's no power that comes near the power of God. To compare the power of the world to the power of God is a mismatch. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? And the Bible says, this God omnipotent reigneth, is present continuous. He reigned in time past. He reigned yesterday. He's reigning right now. And he's reigning tomorrow as well. Oh, can I hear an amen, somebody? In the United Kingdom, you have the prime ministerial system, and you also have the royalty. It is normally said in political science that the queen reigns but does not rule. The day-to-day activities are handled by the prime minister. But the prime minister has his tenure. If it's a certain number of years, when it elapses, he moves out of office. But the queen sits there until death takes her away.
our God is an everlasting God.
Yeah, not getting what I'm saying. So there are things, there are covenants that you may make with God. There are decrees that you may pass today. But when you have served and you are gone, God will continue the administration of his word in the life of your children. And in the life of the ministry. So there are things you don't have to worry yourself about. Is somebody hearing me? If you serve God well and follow through the covenants, blessings stated in the covenants will automatically fall upon your children. Once they walk in the word, they will maintain the blessing. So you don't need to heap a lot of things down. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. In Psalm 110 verse 2, I want you to turn to it quickly. Psalm 110 verse 2. It says, the Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. Now this was prophetically talking about Christ. The word scepter means a symbol of authority. If you go to the Ashanti kingdom, the king has a staff that is a symbol of authority. If you go to the parliament of Ghana, they have a mace, is their symbol of authority. So the Bible says the Lord will extend your mighty scepter or symbol of authority from Zion, from the city of God, saying, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Your ruling is because there is opposition. Your reign is because there is adversity. There is resistance. There are obstacles. There are limitations. And there are also setbacks. So if you relax, the enemy might contend with you and might try to stop you in your track. But the reason why God has made you a king and appointed you and given you a throne that is high up in the heavenlies and has given you the power to execute that authority on earth is so that these things cannot withstand you and your family. The amen is not commensurate with what I mean. God started his kingdom, and Satan was the chief worshiper. Was called Lucifer. Then one day he allowed some things to enter his heart. Pride. And then he rebelled against God and got one third of the angels to follow him. Now listen to me. You came to church to worship, not to do politics. If you find someone else doing politics, avoid the person and be loyal to your church and be loyal to the word of God and follow the church of Jesus Christ. Even in the kingdom of God, where God himself has been the leader, one third of the angels were deceived. It is a simple matter that you heard Lucifer speaking. You can check out with God. They didn't do that. And they followed him. And God exercised his authority by clamping down that rebellion and casting Satan out and whipping him of his glory and beauty. Then in 2 Kings chapter 11, there is a woman, and this is the woman I wanted to talk about. Her name is Athaliah. Well, there have been distinguished women in the Bible. Deborah the prophetess, and Naomi and Ruth, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and there have been distinguished and outstanding women in the Bible who exercised faith and God commended them. There was this woman, Athaliah. She was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab had a son by name Ahaziah who succeeded him. So after Ahab's death, Ahaziah, his son, succeeded him because the kingship at that time was for men. Then later, Ahaziah died. And one of Ahaziah's sons was supposed to be installed as king. But this woman didn't like the idea. So she decided to attack the royal family. She attacked the royal house. She sought to usurp the throne, the order of God. And she enthroned herself as the king of Israel and reigned for 7 years in Judah. During this period, she massacred all the members of the royal household who would have contended with her for the position. Because if you are not alive, then you are not a potential king. So she started attacking them, attacking the royal seat. She would target this one, reach out to the person and finish the person. A woman, Athaliah. So the ministry of Athaliah can be likened to present day politicians. When they realize that the ballots which have been cast at a particular polling station is not favoring them, they will organize people to go and steal the ballot box and run away with them. So you see them in the video clips running away with national ballots. If they still see that the thing will not favor them, they go and take the ballot box, pour it down, and tear some of the ballots, hoping to mess up with the evidence that their opponent won. If you are winning, will you go and steal the ballot box? Ah! If you are winning, will you go and destroy the ballots that have been cast? No! It must be a simple thing that anyone who destroyed ballots is the loser. But an opponent can go and do that as well. So Athaliah's administration was, I must win, otherwise there will be bloodshed. I must win, otherwise there will be chaos. But listen to me, there is a God omnipotent who seated in the heavens of heavens, and Daniel says he ruleth in the affairs of men. Can I suggest to a politician that forces himself into office when you are the loser? Your life may be cut short like Athaliah. Oh, yes.
So Athaliah ruled for 7 years, and it was a regime of wickedness. It was darkness that reigned. Evil reigned. Evil reigned. Everybody was scared. Nobody could talk because she was a tyrant, a despotic leader. She was autocratic. She was despotic, if you like. But before she could kill all the royal seed, there was one son of the late king by name Joash, who had been freshly born and whom Athaliah had not sighted. And she had Joash had an aunt, a sister to the late king, who quickly took hold of Joash and ran away with him and went to hide him. Can I prophesy with you? There is a period that God will bear you. Move out of a certain domain with you and hide you. When the wise men strayed into the house of Herod, and Herod asked them to return to give him a feedback, and they did not, Herod got angry and passed a decree that any child under the age of 2 must die. But God revealed in a dream to Jesus' parents to move out of Israel into Egypt and hide the child there. May God hide you in a secret place and under his pavilion, out of the sight of witches and wizards, in the name of Jesus. Allow God to hide you and allow God to keep you, because there is a day of manifestation coming. Don't project yourself ahead of that time. Just take your time. That day will come. And these people were patient enough to wait for 7 years, and they were feeding Joash and giving Joash tutelage. And if Joash was crying too much, he said, Joash, fumadi Athaliah ban hobi. When the 70 arrived, the priest of that time, high priest of that time, Jehoiada, decided that enough is enough, and that a day must come, and now is, that the regime and administration of Athaliah must come to an end. Ladies and gentlemen, I am declaring that concerning the reign of the occult in your background, from your father's house and from your mother's house, by the power of God, like the regime and administration of Athaliah was brought to an end, may that evil administration, may that reign of death be put to an end from your family and from your life, in Jesus' name. Oh, your amen was not like I shouted. Your amen. So the priest Jehoiada said, today is the day of victory. Then he divided a standing army into three. Those who were close. One would guard the rear of the temple. The other would be immediate security for Joash and himself. And the third party will guard the frontage of the place. Then he said, bring in Joash and have oil poured upon him, and declare that he's king and sit him on the throne. But because Joash was 7 years, Jehoiada said, I will take it upon myself and execute the judgment.
You must be clapping there. You must be clapping there.
So Joah said, sorry, so Jehoiada the priest said, when the king is anointed, all of us will shout with a great rejoicing, as is done in the coronation of a king. And he said that in our shouts, we will go ahead to talk about God save the king and all the others. And he said that in case Athaliah should hear about it and come close, don't kill her in the temple. Take her out and make sure you finish her at once. So the noise was unusual because nobody would dare do anything like that in the administration of Athaliah. But here were a bunch of people who defied her and who stood tall in the power of God and who decided that the administration of Athaliah must end. The Bible says Athaliah drew closer and said, what is it that is happening there? They say, another king has been installed into office. She said, how can that be? I am the king. There is trouble for that person. Little did she know that the strategy of the priest as given by God will work against him. When Athaliah drew closer, they took hold of her and they killed her, and that ended the administration of evil. Listen to me. There was a time when Joash could not be introduced. There was a time when Joash could not be presented. But the people took their time and waited for 7 years. And when the time had elapsed, now they stood up and said, this is the time of our visitation. This is a time of the breaking of our captivity. This is the time where enslavement was coming to an end, and where ungodly governance over us must not be. This is the time to establish the will of God and to bring the judgments of God against them that are working evil and making death reign. Now is the time that righteousness must reign, and so they destroy Athaliah. Today, I, as a servant of God, under the power of the Holy Ghost, under the anointing of the Most High God, and with the grace and power to execute judgment, I prophesy in the name of Jesus that thunderings and lightnings are coming from the throne of God, and the power of God is sweeping away your enemies and destroying every vestige of the enemy against your life. We bind the occult. We bind every witchcraft power. We bind every satanic throne and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind every altar of darkness. We break down the altars. We destroy the altars. We plead the blood of Jesus as your covering. Just as Joash was covered, may the church be covered. May your life be spared from the wickedness of Athaliah. May you be delivered from the conspirators in your background. They will plan against you, but their plans will fall on their heads. They will dig a pit against you, but they will fall in their pits. They will bring chains supposedly to bind you, but they will be bound in their own chains and caught in their own trap. It's your day of deliverance. It's your day of victory. It's your day when your captivity shall be turned around. For the Lord visited his children, and Athaliah's administration has come to an end. I declare that evil and darkness in your background is coming to an end. Joash shall be brought back. He was taken away, but he shall be brought back. He shall be brought back into the temple, and the oil of authority
from the Most High God shall be poured upon your life. The oil of power, the divine oil of execution, which brings vengeance against the wicked who conspire against you, and they say that they will break your bands of wickedness. Jehovah that seated upon the throne shall laugh. The Bible says he shall put them in derision, in confusion, in destruction, and in judgment. I thought the whole church was clapping. I mean, clap like you are crazy. Clap like you have the victory. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Pastor, there are too many demons in my background. Rule down in the midst of your enemies. Pastor, the background from which I come, my hometown, every corner of the street and in the compound of every house, there are erected symbols of idols. Pastor, I am afraid to go back home. Like Gideon, may you be anointed that your prayers from Accra will reach your hometown and break down the altars of Baal. Is somebody hearing from you? Wherever you are in the world, may your prayers destroy the darkness in your background that seem to be heckling you. Listen to me. Rule down in the midst of poverty. Pastor, if you are continue in a shika and lane shika chong darkness. Pastor, come kukru mukuba propose hani no keke jumai chaki. I feel a meta song about propose hani in Lenonia. Rule down in your environment. If there's a whisper, cast him out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If there's an enemy planted to work against your marriage, you must prevail. And I declare that the fruit of the womb that has delayed to you shall come to pass, because we bring judgment and total condemnation over the powers of darkness, and we set you free. We anoint you to conceive and to retain and to give birth at the right time. Let's shout in agreement for them. You may be shouting for your own son or daughter as well. Pastor, I've been running this business, but I've been borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Listen, there was a time in my life that I said, why do I go into the new year with debts? So I purpose that it will not happen. The first year, it didn't work out completely. The second year, my debts were reduced. The third year, it was further minimized. But by the sixth, seventh year, everything was wiped off. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together. If you don't set a target, and if you don't pray toward the target, the same things that affected your forebears will be affecting you. If you get to a certain age, then all your incomes will be whittled away. God forbid. Then you will live a miserable life. Why? Something must change. And it must change now. Evil must be wiped off, ripped off your life and your family, from your finances. Evil must be ripped off from your health. The doctors
are such a blessing, and they'll be used to help us diagnose what is happening. But can't you take the same paper from the laboratory, from the doctor to God, and ask that you are awaiting healing, and even before the healing, may your circumstances not deteriorate. God will help you do some things that people with that condition cannot normally do. And God can make you go through life for 10 years without falling sick of that particular condition. Rule thou. You are supposed to rule, not poverty. You are supposed to rule, not confusion. There are some families, it is always quarrels. By the time dawn appears, dawn is greeted with quarrels. In Amate, he drew here, Nagin, Yemen, rule thou, sister, you are a king. Brother, you are a king. If you sleep, darkness will rule. If you don't join the brethren to pray and you are having a nice Christian life because you have a nice job with nice salary and nice income, Satan is waiting for you. You feel that since you have had that job, you don't need prayer. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies, because you may get victory today, but tomorrow could be something else. May God forbid in your life. May you not have laughter in the beginning and sorrow at the end. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bearing sheaves and harvest in his hand. Sow in tears that he will reap in joy. Weeping may endure for some time, but joy must end the thing. The beginning of the believer may be small, but its latter end shall greatly increase. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Some of you take your leave and waste the leave. Just get back, wash bed sheets, iron bed sheets. It's fine. Keep your surrounding clean. But there are 24 hours in the day. Do you mean that you go and buy just tilapia from the market and you're always cooking and not listening to the word? You're always late to church because you are doing something else that distracts you and prevents you from reigning. There is a time to put cooking aside. Yeah. Yeah. It's not every day that you must be cooking in your house. There is a period when you must wake up early and run out of your house before a thought occurs that you are tired. We are here to rule. And some of you, when we pray 3 minutes, you are so satisfied. Yeah, and then the one leading doesn't know that. And the mini, it was Solomon said, Keneke. Now, it didn't know. I said, in Pibona, a tinting. So, I bet you tinting, tinting, pa, tinting. What can tinting that? And Dr. Haddock, what tinting? I bet you tinting, to say tinting. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Yibataya Rabatu Katakua Kataya. Tongues was not given to you as an interior decor. tongues was not given to you as an ancient relic fit for just what do you call those places that they are displayed in? Tongues was not given to you as a toy, but it was given to you for warfare. And you must command your day. You must take charge of your destiny. What happens around your family, you must determine by the words of your mouth. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. You are to pray as if your prayer today was what your tomorrow depended on. And you are to pray as if you have no more opportunity to pray. Pray with your energy. Jesus prayed until his sweat was like clots of blood. You, when you pray, you don't even sweat. Look at how I'm sweating while I'm preaching. That's why you have a lot of beautiful puns on your face, because the lady who does the facial for you, the beautician, is good. Very good. So when you come to church, you are so concerned with the rosy cheeks and the mascara. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You're so concerned with all these things. But I want you to know today is your day of victory. You are taking the victory here before you step out. They told Hezekiah, prepare your house, for you will die. The man said, the prayers that I will pray, Isaiah will not even reach outside the palace. He prayed a high-speed prayer. God heard it and speedily answered. And Isaiah was asked to come back and change the prophecy. Listen, I don't care who wrote that thing. I don't care who said that the medical laboratory says so. Fine, we are not contending it. But we are contending it in the sight of God. You must be 80 and be strong. Then why do we have the Holy Ghost? Why do we have the Holy Ghost? You must be 80 and be wealthy. Yeah. When your children come, you ask, Kojo, you need something. And sign a check. A spirit of confusion is worrying you when you study, and that thing has been going on. So you're divided and you're not focused, and your grades are getting worse. Somebody must stand with that person to reverse the trend. Otherwise, darkness and death are ruling.